Tonight we are going to be talking about unthankfulness as far as how it impacts our lives as we're going through life. Philippians chapter 4. Let's start there. Just as this is a foundation. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 as a foundation for where we're going tonight. I want to look at verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Period. You see, when you have an unthankful heart, you're going to complain about everything. You will never, ever see the good in anything. You will always, always, always complain about what's not right. And Scripture tells us very clearly, don't do that. If you have a heart full of thankfulness, you won't complain and grumble about everything. A man came home from work one day, and he had three kids, and they were still in their pajamas, and they were outside playing in the mud. And he got out of the car, and they said, "Oh, Dad, we're glad you're home. We're hungry." And he stepped over a bunch of toys, and he went up, and he opened the door, and the house was ransacked. Lamp on the floor, and toys everywhere, and food all over the floor, and dishes in the sink, and beds not made, and dirty clothes with clean clothes thrown all over the floor. And he was like, "What in the world is going on here?" And he went upstairs, and his wife was sitting in bed, reading a book with a cup of tea, and she had just nice quiet music playing. And he said, "What in the world's going on around here?" She said, "Well, you know, every day when you come home and you ask me what I've done all day," and he goes, "Yeah." She said, "I decided not to do it today." You see, we can look at everything and you can look at the most perfect thing and find something to complain about if you really want to complain. And you can look at the most horrible situation and find something to be thankful for if you really have a heart of gratitude. You know, all of you know my husband tore his finger up pretty bad, and we called my daughter and said, "Your dad's being taken to Christiana Hospital, and this is what happened." And she said, "Oh, Mom," she said, "I am just so thankful that it didn't cut his wrist and he would have died." Now that was like, whoa, because I was looking at a mess and thinking, what in the world is going on? And that was her response. So I said, "Harry, get up. We're going home. Could be a lot worse. Quit your belly aching. Come on." You see, if you want to find something to be thankful for, you will. A heart of gratitude will always find something to be thankful for. And a heart that's full of complaining is always going to find something to complain about. Now, having said that, Philippians chapter 2 also tells us, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4 tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, why is Paul saying to rejoice always? That sounds like it's almost impossible, doesn't it? You say, "You don't know the mess I have. You don't know the problems I'm going through. You don't know the situations I am facing. Why in the world are you telling me to rejoice?" Well, because if you go to Nehemiah, everybody go to Nehemiah. It's right in front of Psalms, towards the front of the Bible. You'll find Job, and then there's a little book of Esther, and Nehemiah's right there. If you go to chapter 8, if you go to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the second part of that says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, what you're going to find out is when you start down a road of really finding things to be joyful about and really looking for the good in situations, you're going to find that you can draw a lot of strength from that. And it isn't your strength, it's God's strength coming to you through His joy. Amen. You know, and a lot of you are saying, I'm exhausted. A lot of you are complaining you're tired. And a lot of you are complaining you've got too much to do. I understand that. But the answer is not to complain and argue about everything. The answer is to say, I thank God, first of all, that I have the strength to do it, and secondly, that when I don't, He's going to give me the strength, because that's what God has promised. And therefore, I can have joy. And you know what? All of a sudden, you have a whole lot of energy to get things done. But if, yes.
I'm sorry, what verse
is that? That's Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The second part of the verse. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, please understand, it isn't your joy. It's the joy of the Lord. You see, and so when you understand that, you don't have to say, you say, well, if I try to be happy in this situation, it's going to be all pretend. No. Listen, we can thank God for the miracle that made us a child of the King, no matter what we're going through. There is a reason to thank God. You do not have to say, this is what I want, but I can promise you that if God has allowed any situation to come into your life, He has absolutely promised, if you love Him, it is going to be for your good. And if Satan brings something on you, God has promised what Satan meant for evil, He will turn for good. You see, you cannot find a situation where God will put any of His children in. Now, how many of you are a child of the King?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're children of the King. And if you are a child of the King, He has promised that because you love Him, that everything that ever comes into your life is going to work for your good. That's an absolute promise. And I can't tell you how it's going to be. But I can promise you that whatever you are facing right now is God working things in your life to bring everything together for your good. Because He loves every one of us. You see, so we can be joyful even when we're in a situation because, you know, sometimes as I've been studying this, I've been learning a lot myself, and I find myself now saying, God, I really don't know what you're doing, but I am not going to let Satan rob my joy. And what I am going to do is I'm going to stand here and praise you. And while I am praising you, I am just going to be guaranteed that whatever's happening, you're going to work it out for my good. I'll tell you, tonight I came in, I've been dressed like this all day, and had some shoes on. And God is my witness. All day long, I was doing great. I was standing in this room, and my shoes literally fell apart. I looked down, I said, my shoes are falling apart. Both of them. Just while I was standing here, all of a sudden they just disintegrated right in front of my eyes. They were all watching it with me. I said, what is going on? My shoes are falling right off my feet. But you know, I came back up here and I said, you know, God, I am so thankful that I have more than one pair of shoes. You know, there are a lot of people who do not. You know, and you know, I'm sure Satan was saying, oh man, you really need to just go home and just tell them, look, your shoes fell apart and I'll see you next week. And I just decided, no, I'm going to stay here even if it's in my bare feet. Because God has been kind enough, and I can almost guess, well, I know some of you, but I can almost guess a lot of you in this room have more than one pair of shoes. Amen? Isn't God good to us? Yes. So our joy brings us strength. So that whatever you're facing, the tendency and what Saint wants us to do is when we're facing a mountain, he wants us to complain about it because then we won't have the strength to get over it. But the truth is, when we're facing it, we should be praising the Lord and drawing on his joy because that will give us strength to get past it and get to the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, that's where your strength is. Now, I want to talk to you the best example that we have in any area of our life is Jesus Christ himself. Amen?
Amen.
Our goal is to become more and more and more like Christ every day. You know, and some of us have a long way to go, me included. But the fact that God won't give up on us,
amen,
that he's saying, no, we're going to go through this journey together. And you will reach it eventually because eventually you're going to see me face to face. But in the meantime, we're going to walk through this together. And I'm going to show you what a thankful heart can really do. I want you to go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw his miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Listen, listen, listen. He asked only to test him. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. If you are facing a test, I can give you a great, great, great assurance. Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Pass the test. He already knows what he's going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Okay? So you take 8 months of your wages, buy all the bread you can, there still wouldn't be enough for everybody to even have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Okay, second thing I want to bring out here. How many of you have a need and you do not have enough to meet the need? You're looking at a need, and you have a little bit, but you don't have enough.
All right.
Look, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the 5 loaves. Now, he didn't have enough, but he took what he had and gave thanks. That they gave thanks. Now listen what's happening here.
Stand up.
It's okay, Norma. Stand up if you want. Here's what happened. Jesus had 5 loaves. And instead of saying, "Oh, great. I've got all these people and I don't have enough resources." Jesus said, "I'm going to thank God for what I have." How many of you have thanked God for what you have?
Amen.
thank God for what you have. You have not said, oh my goodness, I don't have enough for what I need. You just thank God for what you have. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. Look, if you need a miracle, you start thanking God for what you have.
Amen.
You start thanking God for what you have. Let's stop and pray for Norma. Our Father, we come to you right now. And we can see that Satan is doing everything he can to prevent your word from going forth. And Father, I pray right now that Norma would receive strength from you as you pour your joy into her. Father, in the midst of this situation, that we would all stop and just praise the Lord that Brian and Norma are a part of us.
Yes.
That we would praise the Lord that you love Brian with an everlasting love.
Yes.
That you have Norma in your everlasting arms.
Yes.
That you are able, Father, to take this situation. And you are able to calm Brian down. You are able to give Norma peace. I pray that they have a wonderful night's sleep tonight. I pray because of the blood of Jesus and the power of his name that you invade that situation and you do a miraculous work in the middle of what seems to be just horrible chaos. I pray even now, Father, that you do a great and mighty work.
Yes.
And I pray, Father, you would bring our minds and our hearts back to your word.
Yes.
We thank you. We just thank you because you are God, and this is not a great thing for you to do.
Amen.
You are able to do this.
Yes.
We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God when you don't have enough. Start thanking him anyway.
Yes.
And he can increase what you need to supply every single need you have. You see, the interesting thing is when Jesus took the time to lift the loaves and bread and pray and give thanks, not only did he have everything he needed, but he had more than enough.
Yes.
You see, it was exceedingly abundantly above all he could think or ask when he took the time to give thanks. Let's go back now to Luke chapter 22. I'm sorry, let's go to Luke 17 first. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Verse 11, we're going to start with. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed.
Praise the Lord.
One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."